Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now. Hello, friends. Welcome to this episode of this Book Show podcast, Your Book, My Time. Today, we're going to take you on a soul journey. Specifically, we are going to be uplifting your soul. I am delighted that my guest today is Alina R. Heitz, who is the author of I Am, Daily Reflections to Uplift Your Soul and Connect You to Mother Earth. Hello, Alina. Thank you for joining me on my book show today, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Alina, we've known each other for a few years now, and we work together in various ways. It was a while before I found out that you actually had a book, because your book had been written several years prior. And I remember when you told me you have a book, and I said, "You have a book?" And you said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, I'd love to read your book." And at that time, you immediately said, "I'll send you a copy." You know, one of the things I myself love about being an author is sharing my books with people who I choose to share them with. And I know every time that my book will uplift the soul. And so I received your book. It's a small book. I love that about it. It's easy to read in bite-sized pieces, and I loved every word. And that's the reason I wanted to have you on my book show, because you are an author who inspires. So again, the title of the book is I Am, Daily Reflections to Uplift Your Soul and Connect You to Mother Earth. I want to ask you, Alina, what is the story behind your story of this book?
Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you enjoy the book, and I'm so grateful to be here. The story behind the book is that the book was never going to be a book. The book was really just me as a writer. I've always been a writer. As a child, I liked to journal, and I was going through some hard times in my early 20s. And looking back, this was 2014 when I published the book, but it was 2013. So it was a long time ago. And I just started writing every morning, having my daily routine, you know, journaling. And it was so happened to be the summer. So I would go outside and I would just journal. And my favorite flower is a sunflower. And I just said, you know, that sunflower, the sunflower really is beautiful, and it's such a strong flower. And I always liked that flower because it has that thick stem. And I said, that sunflower stands strong, and it faces the sun, and I'm like the sunflower. And I just started journaling. And then the next morning, I started journaling, you know, the next entry in the book, because it's a daily reflection. And I realized that I was journaling, but I was also connecting with Mother Nature or Mother Earth, whatever works for you. And when I was journaling, I realized, like, I kind of always knew this in myself, but I realized that we're so part of Mother Nature. We're not separate from Mother Nature. And that if we look at ourselves as being part of Mother Nature and not separate, there's more connection, and we can relate more to animals, to Mother Nature, meaning like the sun or the sunflower, whatever one you want to choose, that they have struggles too, just because they're not as complicated as human beings. The sunflower, or, you know, the sunflower is strong, but it also it has a life cycle, just like us. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the book for really for therapy for me. Like it was cathartic. Yeah. And after about 15 to 20 entries, I was sharing them with my intermediate family, my brothers, my husband, my mother, maybe a couple of friends, and they were giving me really positive feedback. And they were telling me how inspiring and connected they felt after they read them. And I remember my brother saying, keep going, keep doing it. And my husband was really encouraging. And I just, after about a few weeks, it was 6 weeks, I wrote the book, but I didn't really know it was a book. It was just me writing. It was a stream of consciousness. And then it became a book, and then I structured it. And it was really, the story behind the book is that anyone who's going through a hard time, if it's grief, if it's chronic illness, if it's loss of any kind, or somebody that just has to keep it simple because they have a lot of overwhelm in their life, the book was meant to really just keep it simple, because I knew when I was going through hard times in my life, specifically in mental wellness, I needed to just keep it simple. I couldn't read a novel. I couldn't read a self-help book about, you know, trying to get better. You know, I needed to really have a simple connection. And that was a start. So people that suffer with depression or people that have loss as well, those are the people that find a lot of solace in my book. So, and it's, I think it's because that's how I found solace writing it. So it was kind of like a labor of love at first.
I just love everything about this. Of course, my own book is also what I call a small book, easy to read in bite-sized chunks, the same exact way. So I think that's why it resonated with me. I love that you've laid it out. You've planted the suggestion that this can be a daily reader for 31 days. I love that you're speaking directly to people about mental wellness, people who suffer from either mental illness or mental health concerns. You and I talk about this offline so much that most people suffer in some kind of way or other. At this time in the history of the world, it's a fraught time. And for you to be invoking simplicity and especially the divinity of Mother Earth, I absolutely love this. As you know, I've had my own soul journey that started it did start, in fact, with getting outside and walking. Mm-hmm. I myself was on medication for anxiety for 7 years. And at the time, I was very busy, 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 you know, type A, of course. And I didn't spend any time outside. I didn't have any engagement with Mother Earth, but I started to get out just to walk. And just being outside, I went from, I could barely go a quarter mile on my own street down to the nature preserve. And so invoking the personal soul connection to Mother Earth, as you do in your book, is absolutely profound. I know that now you're a speaker in addition to being an author, Alina, and I know you're speaking directly about these issues. So I just want to give you a minute to share with us. What do you speak about? Whom do you speak to? Just tell us a little bit about your speaking.
Thank you. I do speaking conferences and training, mostly to organizations, specifically in healthcare, anyone who's a caregiver or essential worker. They, you know, especially now more than ever, you know, these professionals are really burnt out and stressed. Recently, I just spoke at a respiratory conference, and I spoke about self-compassion. And this topic is, I have also spoken about mindfulness and healthcare, mental wellness overall is just, you know, taking better care of yourself. Most of my topics are all interrelated. self-care, you know, is a big one. The ethics of self-care as a healthcare professional is a really big one, because when we think about being a healthcare professional, you're caring for the sick. Mm. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're ethically not following the code of conduct that you swear to follow as a healthcare professional. So
wow, even that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. Hold on one second. I got to process that for a second. So this is very interesting that that a person has, especially if you're in a service field, a giving field, a helping field, a healthcare field, that it's not just that you have an opportunity to take care of yourself. It's actually a responsibility to figure out how to bring that in, you know, to bring in self-care. And it's through, as I know, I've heard you speak about it, it's through self-compassion instead of the giving that we're always in, right? And so the book, now it resonates even deeper for me. I'm feeling this as I'm saying it, Alina, that for someone who's in such a complicated state of being right now, as being a health care provider, a respiratory therapist in a hospital, you know, any kind of healthcare worker, to have a book. Do you have your book there?
Yeah.
Hold it up. A beautiful book. Yeah, I am. To sit for 10 minutes to read a piece and breathe and reflect in connection with Mother Earth and your own soul. It's not like you're asking them to take a 12-week course, sitting down for 2 hours every week, where that would be nearly impossible. Am I getting it right?
The whole point of the book is actually, and it's not even going to take 10 minutes to read an entry. This one is I Am the Soil. Mm. And it starts out with what soil is and how soil is like Mother Nature. I mean, how we are like soil. Mm. And then the book encourages you to pretend that you are soil for a moment. And then the last part of the book is I am soil. I am this, I am that. And I love myself regardless that I'm soil, or if I'm, you know, whatever characteristic soil is, you know, I know I'm just, of course I pick soil, you know, and when we think about soil, or we think about the swan, or we think about the sun, or the pig, people are like, you wrote about the pig. I'm like, the pig is one of the most wisest animals out there. And when it kind of puts perspective, and a lot of us, we need self-compassion, all of us. Self-care is under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. It's mindfulness, community, and self-care are all under that self-compassion umbrella. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people hear self-care, they think, oh, you know, just take better care of yourself. But self-care, especially in the service profession,
yes,
it is, like you said, it is a responsibility.
And I mean, I'm so all over this. I mean, this is very important. I want to speak directly to our listeners. I want to speak to you and ask you to understand what's being said here. 100% of people know someone in healthcare. You may not have a nurse in your family, but everyone knows someone in healthcare. And you can even feel the, you know, how fraught it is and how frail some people who are faced with this are underneath the surface. So, you know, you bring up soil, Alina. Just yesterday, somebody, I'm just going to say somebody I know who is dear to me, I will say, called me in personal crisis that was sort of work related. And it is not a healthcare person, but it is their health concerns are a part of the situation here, what she does. And as soon as you invoke the soil, and I was working with her on simply grounding, she was so ungrounded, just to find your ground, the soil beneath your feet, where you, in, you know, with what I'm hearing from you, Alina, where you can stand barefoot or even with shoes or whatever on the soil and connect up to the strength of, and the, you know, I call that the platform, you know, the platform of okay. And that is huge. It really, truly is. And so when you used soil as an example, in your book, that came up for me. It literally just happened. But as a coach, I do this day after day, hour after hour. Much of my work is about helping people rise, release inhibitions, and secure enthusiasm in life and in business. But in order to get there, we have to break through quite a bit. So am I getting it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you bring up soil, and one of the things, you know, because we're talking about soil, I did line up the table of contents is written in the way that I stream of consciousness came to me. Mm. So when I wrote about soil, I'm just going to bring this up for a second because it really makes sense here. When I talk about soil, people are like, how are you even reflecting on soil? How is soil something that we can connect to? And when you think about soil, soil is a natural mixture of multiple solids and gases, often called dirt, literally mm-hmm. dirt, right? But soil is made up of so many organisms, just like we're made up of so many different, we're all different in this earth.
This right? is so fun.
Right?
Yeah,
we're diverse and we're diverse human beings and we're all in the same ecosystem. And when I think about it, soil is also a source of food for plants and insects. So without soil, I have a plant right here, you know, my plant wouldn't be beautiful.
Right.
So I think the whole point that I make with Mother Nature is that we are Mother Nature. So if you, the moment you think that you're different and you're unique, we're all special. But we're all the same. We are soil. We are the sun. We are the wind. We are the swan. We're human beings. Mm. And we are having this complicated human being experience.
Yeah.
And people... Right. So because we have these brains that are so complicated. And this book is about, let's just get to the simple. You are Mother Nature. If you want to connect and feel spiritually, whatever you want to call it, universally grounded. One way to do that is through Mother Nature.
Oh, I'm totally all over this. You know, I am so lucky, blessed, and intentional. In my connection with Sedona, Arizona. And so I'm so lucky to be close to Sedona, to be able to go there and sit among one of the most beautiful places. You know, Mother Earth adorns herself in different ways, sometimes as soil, sometimes as a pig, and sometimes as the red rocks of Sedona. So I'm definitely all over this. I want to explore something else here, Alina. The sunflower is my daughter Sarah's favorite flower. Mm. That resonated with me. The swan is so beautiful. The sun is my own visual for the light in my own enlightenment journey. But I want to talk about the pig for a second.
Sure.
I do remember reading that chapter and saying the same thing. Why is there a pig in here? But as you brought it up earlier, I thought to myself, how many people among my own clients and my coaching and my work with women especially, but not just women, also men now, and especially among our children, you know, as young as 9, 10, 11, certainly teenagers, how many of them identify with what might be considered an animal who is simply not beautiful? There's a lot of things you can say about a pig. And for those for whom the pig is a source of their food, you know, that's, you know, important, but it's not beautiful. And yet here, you know, you've included it. Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yes. Like, well, the book talks about, like, it says, I am the pig. right? I am the, who wants to say they're a pig? But when you think about the pig, we think about like sometimes, you know, male chauvinism or gluttony or lack of cleanliness. We think about the pig, we think very negatively, but the pig is actually, you know, the pig has an excellent ability to hear and smell. And I'm not saying let's, you know, make the pig, you know, put on the statue. But the point of the pig is like the pig accepts who he is or she is. And the pig is the pig. The pig is not trying to be the swan. The pig, as far as we know, the pig is not trying to be the plant. The pig is like, I approve and take pride of who I am, regardless of what other people think or say. And that's self-acceptance.
This is crazy. Oh my God. I love everything about this. I love my book show. I love working with my authors. I love hearing the story because like I said, when I read your book, I did have that reaction. Like, why is there a pig in here? But yet look at what we're saying. The message of, I have to put my hands on my heart.
Sure.
The message of self-acceptance is profoundly undermined today, profoundly, vitally, foundationally undermined today. So that you would offer us through this particular chapter in your book, this I am, the holiest words, I am invokes it, the image of the universal being of all that is. Some people call that God and others call it the universe. Sometimes I refer to God as the universal source of all that is, all the miracles around us. I know I've been talking about this a lot this week. But I just want to say thank you so much for invoking this today on my show for our listeners, Alina. And it's no coincidence that this is part of your message as a speaker talking about mental wellness in the workplace. How many people are sitting there suffering, lacking self-acceptance, right?
And also acceptance of what really is right now. I know we don't want to be unrealistic and say, you know, life is perfect and life is never going to be perfect. And, you know, sometimes life has its ups. Sometimes it has its downs. If you're working in the ER, you may see a lot of that happening every day. And it's like, okay, I'm not giving up, but I'm accepting this is where I'm at. And we're in a pandemic. This is a pandemic. I'm not going to make it bigger than it is. I'm not going to make it smaller than it is. I'm going to accept it. And, you know, it's funny, you're taking an animal, you know, and comparing it to, you know, a situation, a human experience. But animals, you know, they just be. They're in it. They're in it. And if everyone could just be in their own self and not be so concerned about everything on the outside and like, just like, being really mindful and grounded, like you said, we would have such a happier, more satisfied human experience as a whole.
I mean, this is so crazy. And also, I know that you know my book's title. I was just interviewed yesterday. I don't know where it is. It's not around here. But my book's title is Your Job Is to Be.
That's so right. I totally forgot. It just came out and I know that's the title of your book and I love that.
Right.
And that's true.
Yeah, it really is true. So I love how you are calling out our reality, but not just our in the whole, right? But the reality for each of us. So as a speaker, I'm already gleaning that in your audiences, I'm already gleaning this. I could feel the way that when you're speaking on these vital topics in your audiences, each person can receive the message that is intended for them at that time. Honestly, well, I really have to confess, I do watch all of my book show podcasts again. I love it because when I'm in it, it's hard for me to process, you know, all the richness and the beauty of what's happening here. Okay, hold on one second.
Yeah.
So people who listen to my podcast know that my second question is, why is your book worth my time? right? Mm-hmm. My time. It's so precious. It's so valuable. And I think that we've really covered this question so much about the messages, the simplicity, you know, the ease, the messages, the love that you've embedded, the fact that you vulnerably shared and revealed your own cathartic journey through the journaling. I'm a big advocate of journaling. This also has been coming up for me. I'm going to talk more about that this week and moving forward this year, and how it served you. I just want to note that it was the men. I guess you have brothers. You didn't say my brothers and sisters. You didn't say my soul sister girlfriend. You know, you said my brother.
Well,
brothers.
I want to give my mother credit too.
Okay.
Know, I don't want to know.
Good. So but, your mom. She's your mom.
She's my mom. She has
She's your mom. But your brothers, your husband, you know, this is not just a girly thing. This is not just something for women. If you're a man executive, if you're a man manager, if you're a man supervisor, this is speaking to you as well. So, you know, this book really is worth my time and the time of readers to really just invoke this. I could feel it, this simplicity, these few moments of quiet, you know, where you breathe. And I know that you offer self-care tools like this as well. I want to ask you, what is it that you want your reader to do after they read your book?
So the book has 31 reflections, and that's intentional for every day of the month. You pick the one that calls you that day. There's no specific. I want people at the end of the book to feel like confident in who they are. That's why I think it makes sense to be in the confidence zone, right? But I want them to feel connected to who they are. I want them to feel purposeful. They will feel by just practicing on a daily, they'll feel more part of community, more part of nature, and more part of workplace, more part of, because when you're intentionally connecting to other things like Mother Nature or going for a walk, you're really connecting to yourself. And when you're more connected to yourself, you're a better mom, dad, sister, CEO, respiratory therapist. You're just better. And you show up better, and people pick up on that. So it's not, you know, it's not just about a routine and connecting to the trees. It's really about showing up for yourself so you can show up for other people and be your highest version, best version.
Yeah. I get it. You know, we just have another minute or two, but I, you know, you invoked the person who works in our emergency room world, you know, ER, ED, emergency department. And I worked for 15 years in the administration side of a hospital. So I know that world. Most people have had an experience in the world of emergency medicine. And you can see how fraught that is and how much this, you know, this book and, you know, these conversations with you would also make such a difference, both individually for those people, but also for teams. So how can people connect with you to bring you in as a speaker to their groups?
Sure. I have a simple website. It's in process, but it is my name, alinaraheitz.com.
Okay, if you and are that's on H-A-I-T-Z.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. So it's alinaraheitz.com. You can connect with me easily there. I'm also on LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn. I'm always posting. I'm always, you know, here to connect and hear from you and your audience. So
good. All right. Well, listen, I want to say thank you. This was such a rich and deep conversation. Talk about the soil. We are in the soil, baby.
We are in it.
We are in it. All right. So I want to wish you the best. And when you write your next book, I hope that this will be the first book show that you bring it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. This is
okay,
a pleasure.
I'll see you soon. Take good care. Bye-bye.